You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 141 of Well Met. We are a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. I am John Kick Tripod Horseman from Denver, Colorado, in Studio 6. Actually, it's kind of like Studio 7 now, because we have the couch back here, and that's about it. But besides that, I've got the good players with me this time. Don't tell JR I said that. Nashua, New Hampshire, the wild expert extraordinaire genius, and also doing some sweet scripting for Tempo Storm, Danny Donuts. Hey, Danny.
Hey, John. Hey, you are the voice of Tempo Storm now too. So
actually, there's another girl who does the voiceover for it, and her voice is way better than mine and way more professional. She's the voice of Tempo Storm. I'm the voice of Tempo Storm when the voice of Tempo Storm can't make it.
It's fair.
So you're the backup voice of Tempo Storm.
I'm the Ray C.
He's the JV. He's the JV.
Wait, if you're the Ray C of Tempo Storm, that means you can't.
does not come.
That's the highest you can go.
You're really good at thinking on your feet, there, young Raymond. That other voice over there, from 30 minutes away from Nashua, New Hampshire, is Ray C. Sitting at number, like, what? What are you sitting at ranked right now? Can you say that?
Oh, yeah. I'm like 18. Legendary.
Can you tell us for a second your sweet deck list strategy? You don't have to if you don't want to, but I thought it was really interesting.
I everything's on my Twitter. Like, if you look at my Twitter, it's basically a play-by-play of what I do in Legend. Honestly, I just tweet everything. It was actually kind of funny because Ant was like, can you not tweet it? And I was like, ooh. I don't really want to delete it now. He was like, I want to use this deck to climb. I don't want people to know about it. And I was like, yeah, no, it's already, the tweet's already been sent, it's already done, we're not going back. But yeah, so basically last night I got home, I went to like a wedding thing this weekend, I got home last night and I was just like ready to play some Hearthstone, and I was just thinking, I played a couple games of Raza Priest on ladder, and I was only playing against like Warlocks and Raza Priest mainly. There wasn't much aggro at all. I still don't think there's much aggro at all at High Legend. It's mainly Raza Priest, Q Block, and there are some Tempo Rogues, but there's significantly less Tempo Rogues than there are Raza Priest and Q Block. So in my mind, I was like, why don't I just play J-Druid with double Naturalize? Because the reason why J-Druid loses to Q Block is because you can't deal with Mountain Giant efficiently. They just tap, play Mountain Giant, and then you cannot deal with it. Well, if you have Naturalize, they already have 9 cards in their hand, so it's not like you're giving them card advantage. You're effectively, they're not even drawing cards, because they're going to draw one for their turn and go to 10. So if you Naturalize, they're not getting card advantage from it, they're just, and they're milling cards. If they mill Death Knight, they immediately lose the game. So I was like, okay, if I put double Naturalize in, I draw the Naturalizes when they play their Mountain Giants, I can actually just, this matchup goes from nearly unwinnable to probably 50-50. Or great, or better in my favor. And I just played that. I just played J-Druid with double Naturalize. The list is on my Twitter, and I just climbed. I mean, against Priest, you just armor up a bunch. Priest never kills you. Sometimes you mill their Velen, Mind Blast, Smite, Radiant Elemental, Anduin, Raza, I don't know, any of those things, and you instantly win. So it just worked out really well for me, and I got to rank 15 or 14, and then I got tired and stopped playing last night. And then Dr. J needed help, so I gave him the list and stayed up till like 4 in the morning with him because we were on a hot streak. He was like, all right, I'll play your stupid deck until we lose. And then we went from like 100 to rank 5. And then we were like, all right, maybe it's time to stop now. It's like 4 in the morning and I'm real tired. So we stopped at rank 5 for him last night. And then that was really it. Like, I guess I'll have to probably help some more people today, but I don't know if it's caught on at all. I doubt it. For some reason, I just doubt it because it's so wacky. Like, double naturalized Jade Druid. It's just so odd. So,
yeah,
I mean, doubt the majority.
That's it. Get those points. So, points now, is that the thing you're looking for the high finish? Are they doing points again?
Yeah, ladder is more important than ever. For the reason that there are not any open, well, there are open cups, but they're tour stop qualifiers, but there's significantly less of them. There's probably actually like 10 or 12 or something, but the ones that people in NA can actually play in, there's like 3.
Interesting.
Or maybe more if you're a filthy degenerate who doesn't sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I tried that. I tried in one of them. Oh my god. The best experience.
It's horrible. So the actual points that you're going to be getting from these tour stop qualifiers are pretty minimal. So ladder's the only source of points right now, which is really terrible. They tried to emphasize tournaments more, and they completely failed because they made the online cups twice as worse as they were before, which is honestly an incredible feat by Hearthstone Esports. I did not think it was possible for their tournaments to get any worse. But they genuinely surprised me this time. And I couldn't, they were so bad, I couldn't even play in them.
Yeah.
It was,
yikes.
I can definitely mirror that. I played in the one that was earlier this week, the Sydney qualifier. And so it's a tournament with 1,000 players. And like, they were running it on Battlefy, which I've actually used before for like small scale tournaments, but they let people check in early. They couldn't get the cutoff in time. They screwed up. It took them around 3 hours to get into the first game. So to get to my first game, it took more effort than my first 2 matches actually did. So, like, there were some players who were joking around, but they got knocked out round 0 of the tournament. Before it even started, like, people were dropping out.
Yeah. I mean, what was the start time for us good old NA? This is the NA qualifier. And guess what start time they chose?
So, the initial start time was 9 p.m. EST. So us East Coasters got it then, but it didn't really start until like 11:30 at night. And now this is something where you have to play up until, what is it, 7 rounds in the winner's brackets, 8 in the loser's bracket or something like that. So it went until 4, 5 in the morning, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
it was absurd.
Like, yeah, it ended around like 5 or 6 in the morning. And my logic for not playing in it was that it's going to run, because the ones before this, Copa America was ran even worse than this tournament. And by that logic, by the time I would have to leave in the morning to go to this wedding that I had to go to, like, the tournament would still be going, like, day one would still be going on by the time I would have to leave my house. Like, if I started, like, you have to check in at 9, the tournament doesn't start till around midnight, I have to leave at 6 in the morning. The tournament's not even over by 6 in the morning. So, like, I would literally have to leave the next day before it's, like, even finished. I was like, no, like, it's not even worth it for that matter alone, because I know that this is going to go horribly just due to the track record, and they definitely did not let me down there.
Yeah, a lot of internal issues there. So they had open deck lists, so everyone went and you were able to go and view everyone's decks on like a Google Drive. So from there, there were a couple situations where I actually ran into a situation where some guy played a deck that wasn't in his submitted deck lists. So he had a rogue and he played the rogue, but his deck list said druid. So I brought that to the admins. I'm like, hey, this guy is playing a deck that's different than it. And then apparently the guy went and he was just playing a deck that wasn't what he submitted. So I ended up winning that game, and that won me the whole set there, and I moved on. But there were some other situations that didn't work out as well for other players, like Soleil.
Yeah, so a person who cheated the whole tournament actually managed to qualify because they were playing cards every round that were not in their submitted list. Like, they were teching in Geist and such. And then what would happen is they wouldn't get caught until afterwards. This is what happened with Soleil. Soleil caught it. Like, after the game, he was like, wait a second, my opponent wasn't playing Geist in his deck. And then he brought it up to the admins, and the admins literally said, well, nothing we can do now. I mean, you have proof, but we already moved him on in the brackets. We can't undo this. So, that sucks. And the person admitted to it on Twitter, saying that they did it by accident, which may or may not be true. It doesn't really matter. They admitted it, so it was a thing. They were,
and then you also don't say, oh yeah, I intentionally went and screwed around with this. You always said, oh, you, no matter if he did it maliciously or not, he's gonna go in and say, oh, it was an accident, guys.
Right. And the thing is, there has been no official statement from the Hearthstone Esports Department, which means that person could get his free trip revoked, and he could get disqualified from the tournament after the fact, which would let, I guess they'd probably have a playoff for who gets the last spot, like between 5th through 8th. They'd probably play like a mini tournament or something to see who gets the spot. But all the people that he beat in the first 8 rounds where he was cheating and switching cards throughout his decks that when he didn't get caught would unfortunately just kind of be out of luck. And the punishment for getting caught is only a game loss. And
yeah. That, not even a match loss, a game loss.
It's kind of unfortunate because in these qualifiers, you don't have to use screenshots. It means you can have 3 of each class built. And if you wanted to take the chance in a match, so say I know I'm going into game 5 with a 90% chance to lose. Now, I could pick a deck that was highly teched to win that matchup. And if my opponent just was too focused on the game or whatever to not notice my deck list, or they just weren't looking, because some people... It's a lot, right? Like, you're playing in these tournaments, and it's hard to pay attention to the deck list and the game, yada, yada, yada. And not everybody's a pro. Keep that in mind. So, I am actually better off if I don't have a reputation to uphold just cheating in that scenario, because the worst that happens is I get a game loss. I don't get DQ'd. I just get a game loss. So, I was going to lose anyway, so why not try to cheat and win, which is, like, that's obviously a terrible mentality, obviously, right? Like, that's super shady, whatever.
Yeah.
Super scummy. But from a perspective of a random who has no reputation and their only goal is to win, like, there are people who play card games, because I've been around the block my whole life. I've played card games my whole life. And the people who are habitual cheaters, they don't care. So, in their minds, like, I've talked to people who cheat, who've been banned, and that's just how they think. They're just like, if I get caught, it's a slap on the wrist. Who cares? I can still keep playing. Even if I get banned, it's not a big deal. Like, they just don't care. They're just trying to win at all costs. And it's really sad, but the current system definitely needs to be changed. And they need to use a different program. They should not be using Battlefy. They need to do a lot of work, because cheating is too easy. The start times are never actually the start times. Turnaround on a...
Sorry.
I'm being realistic, well, John. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, we've been... Tournament mode. You guys said that when Kevin was still on the show. You guys were pushing that around since then.
I mean, honestly, not all the tournament mode needs is a specific place where you can put in 3 decks and lock them and only play with those decks. That's all That's all that needs to happen for a tournament mode. I don't care if brackets are done elsewhere. I don't care that. But like the thing that really corns my cob is the is when people are messing around with deck lists. I even dealt with it in HPL when I play with it, where guys would be playing cards that weren't in their submitted deck lists. And it's just like, you shouldn't be manually copy pasting deck lists. You just, that's, that just shouldn't be a thing. It needs to be a priority. We're at that point now, and we've been there for a long time. And I just like, I get it. I don't want a more difficult thing, but like, I don't know why, if we have like taverns and stuff, why we can't have a thing where you're sent a, you know, a string that sends you to a tournament lobby. I don't know, choose three of your decks from your 18 deck slots and lock them in, and just boom, that's it.
We had a chat about this in our chat, where JR basically pointed out the truth that they don't care about the competitiveness of the game as much as they do casual things. Like solo player, it got a huge overhaul, and they did the dungeon run, which was great. The dungeon runs were great, but
experience, yeah.
Their spectator mode is still garbage, whereas they're putting those resources into things that are more casual in nature, like the dungeon runs, like Overwatch. Look at Overwatch. They're trying to make that super competitive. Focus on Overwatch League. Overwatch spectator mode got so many updates and huge overhauls, which I think you can attest to, John. Like, they've been working on that a lot. Right. Just everything about Overwatch's competitiveness, they have been actively working on, and they've just been neglecting that for Hearthstone because they just probably don't need to. That's not where the money is for them.
And
That's what I'm thinking, at least.
I don't want to, like, I think saying it's not important to them goes too far. But I do think that there are other priorities that they think is more important for the health of the game, which is a statement that I would definitely agree with. And, you know, you're right. At the end of the day, how many people were affected by this this thing? You know what? Let's just say a dozen in this last week. How many people are affected by not having something like Dungeon Runs? You know, hundreds of thousands probably who played that this week. And so, right, like, I get it. At the same time, Dungeon Runs doesn't really make them money either, but it gets them in the game, which encourages them to buy cars, and which, you know, it's kind of a, it's an exposure thing, mm-hmm. right? And
yeah, I guess the people that, like, the people who work on competitive Hearthstone care a lot about competitive Hearthstone, otherwise they wouldn't have their jobs. But I guess, like, not caring shouldn't be the right word. Their priorities are not favorable to the competitive player.
Mm-hmm. From the client side solution, anyway, I would totally agree. Yeah. I think they've done great right. stuff for the format side. I'm really excited for the competitive scene this year, but I'm not excited to be a player that has to submit deck lists and go to Battlefy to do that.
Right. The whole process was just honestly disgusting.
It was rough. It was definitely rough.
Out of the whole tournament, out of 1,000 people, 4 people get the invite. Luckily, my teammate, Hot Meow, actually won the whole event. He went like 10-0 or something. He just killed the event. But he lives on the West Coast, so it's way easier for him. His sleep schedule is very good for what their times are. Like, he probably doesn't go to bed till like 8 in the morning. So worked out perfectly for him in that aspect. But I don't think that's the majority of competitive people. And with the way that they're pushing the game, and the way that they're setting up these qualifiers have been during either A, work hours, or B, throughout the middle of the night. So people with actual jobs and the quote-unquote average Joe dream is just not a thing anymore if you're a competitive player. Like, you can't work a job and compete in these qualifiers right now until they change it.
Mm-hmm. And I think people really like to overplay, like, the people who, you know, tend to say, like, yeah, but there's people saying bad things about their game or whatever, don't actually understand the impacts of that. Like, I get it. Yeah, you're right. People say bad things about your game, and that's never a good thing. But coming from a company previously who had bad things said about it all the time, like, it really doesn't affect the bottom line as much as you think it does. So it's just kind of an interesting. You know what, though? We got news to talk about. Can we talk about
news? There's a lot of news.
Let's do that. Yep.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
All right, we've got some stuff this week. Some good things. So Ben Brode, in a surprise appearance on the YouTubes and social medias, announced some changes coming to the Hearthstone ladder.
Finally.
Yes. Finally. So, quiet, audience. Please, let me. So, here's what is changing. Card backs will now be earned after 5 wins for a month. I'm going to go through all of these, and then we're going to go back and talk about them. So you can, after, I want you to get the big picture first. Second, all ranks will have 5 stars to go from rank to rank. When a new season starts, you will reset exactly 4 ranks below your top ranking the month previous, stars included. So if you're at rank 1, 4 stars, you go back to, that'd be rank 5. Yeah.
5 4 stars.
5 4 stars. And if you ended at rank 1, 2 stars, but your highest was rank 1, 4 stars, you would go back to rank 5 4 stars. So there's that. Ranked rewards still go by your highest ranked earned during that season. There may be some rank inflation, but not to the point where everyone will be legend. So they're expecting, basically, this is getting rid of the reset, right? So not getting rid of it, but it's
replacing
it. It's diminishing it greatly for most people. And then no changes to the win streak mechanics. So that does mean, I want you guys to confirm that no win streaks, 5+.
No win streak. So no, it's still win streak. It's still going to be difficult to get from 5 to legend. I think that the amount of legends will definitely increase, but not by as much as people might think.
I would say, like, after a few months, it probably would too, because you're going to see more people kind of climb up and climb up because they're not resetting. You know, a lot of dad legends who aren't going back to rank 17 or are now at 9, then go to 3, then go to 2, then go to the 1, and then, you know, you can kind of continue that. So, like, I think it'll affect legends overall, but I think you're right, too. At the end of the day, it's still a lot of games to play. But so let's talk about this first from the casual perspective. Probably one of the most casual pieces of the Hearthstone. I hate the word casual these days, but we're going to use the word casual anyways.
Word do you prefer?
Casuals. So so card backs will now be earned after 5 wins for the month, rather than having to grind out to 20. I mean, this has to be a great change for just about anyone, right? Except that I can't get to rank 1 and then not play for the next 2 seasons and still get my card back. But besides that, right? I mean, this is a good change, right?
Yeah. I mean, from a competitive standpoint, this is amazing. This means that I can now grind every single server if I want to because of how easy it is to get legend. The main difficulty that
legends, we're talking about getting the card back for the month, Ray. Slow your roll here.
Oh, the card the back. I jumped the gun.
I know you're not like used to worrying about if you're going to get your card back this month. Let's be honest.
I don't even know I get a card back every month.
It's true.
But I've never used the card back until now, which I didn't actually talk about this before.
That's what I wanted you to talk about, by the way. I could care less what deck you're running. I just thought that this strategy with card backs was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, now that I actually have to use different card backs, this is almost relevant to my interests, right? So basically, when you're in high legend and you're queuing, if you use the same card back every time, people are going to know it's you, even if you're in offline mode, which is what every player uses to play now. If you're in High Legend, you're playing in offline mode because it gives you a strict advantage. People don't know your name, don't know your rank, so they don't have an idea of what you're playing. If I queue into a Druid deck, and I queue into a specific player who only plays aggro Druid, I'm going to mulligan differently. But if I play against your opponent, who I don't know. They could be any rank. They could be any person. I don't know. But if I queue into them back to back and they're playing with the same card back, they're most likely to be the same person, especially if it's not a standard card back. Like if I'm playing against a Gold Celebration card back player who's playing aggro Druid,
which and if I queue right away, can get me one of those card backs, by the way, I will be forever in your debt. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Yeah, I'll hook you up with that, John. Don't worry.
So if I play against the same aggro or same Druid player playing Golden Celebration card back twice in a row, it's most likely the same person, right? But if I play against a player playing with the Golden Celebration card back, and then the next game I play against a Druid playing a different card back that's not Golden Celebration, I'll be like, this is probably a different person. No, that's where you're wrong. That's where you're just queuing it to me, switching between my 9 different same 60 card or 30 card aggro Druid decks with different card backs, so that way you don't know. You don't know that it's me again. Right. Surprise! It's me.
So what's the meta on card backs? What card backs
are they right now? Tespa, right?
You gotta start off your day with the notable card backs, right? Like you play the Tespa card back. And then your opponent notices that you go, they go, all right.
There's no way you're changing that one.
This is a Tespa card back. You're like, if I queue into a Tespa card back Druid player, I know they're going to be playing J Druid.
The card back metagame.
But so then, that's where I hit it with the mix up, though.
Then Cupcake, right?
Then I switch it to the Cupcake, and then they're like, wait a second, I just played against the Tespa card back. Huh. Maybe I have to keep this, the Spellstone, because it could be aggro Druid. So what are the odds that I came into 2 J Druids in a row that are different people
with different card backs?
Yeah.
But I think that's
hilarious. Psych, have 9 of the same time. Deck.
And then what's after Cupcake? Apple Pie?
The basic card backs definitely thrown in there.
Basic,
the Tespa card back
Tespa
in there.
The Tavern Throw one.
Tavern.
What's that?
Power Core. Power Core is definitely in there. Power Core's in there. One of the Halloween ones, the pumpkin one. I like that one. I don't know. I'm gonna have to keep experimenting. I haven't even looked at like almost every single card back, but I haven't actually looked at the majority of them just because I've always used the basic card back.
Yeah.
But now I gotta switch them up because it's actually a strategic advantage to switch your card back every single game that you play at High Legend. Cool.
And now you can do that at Legend 2 by only winning 5 games a month.
Yeah.
There you go. See?
It may seem silly. It's super important at High Legend.
Oh, yeah. High Legend. Yeah, you're playing against like a handful to a dozen players at that point, typically. So... Mm-hmm. Like it's really important to doing that. I remember Ray when you would coach me. I've watched so many Legend players. I wouldn't really pay attention to the name or whatever. I would pay attention to the name and I'd be like, oh, we just played this guy, blah blah blah. It's like, dude, you're rank 9. Relax, like you're okay. But at Legend, you know, knowing what your deck, when you're at rank 9, it's who's gonna play better most of the time. But when you're at Legend, it's who has more information about the other player? Because chances are you're both going to play fairly optimally. So, hey.
This is similar to that old strat, right? When you had the mulligans and like when you actually mulliganed your hand, they went back into your deck and you could tell what type of deck people were playing based on how many cards they returned. So this it's like another game of information.
Handlock versus Zulok. If you toss them all, yeah, it's Handlock. If you kept them, chances are it's Zulok. Yeah. It's definitely like that. Remember when there used to be an issue with the game where like certain deck trackers, it was only for a couple weeks, but certain deck trackers would pick up cards that were mulliganed. when you put them back, when they drew a card that was mulliganed, it would like come up as an M and stuff, and they had to change the strings on the back end that it was drawing from. There was
another time when the cards were literally in client flipping over as they came out. Do you remember that? I don't remember what the reason was for that, but there was another period where a certain cards would flip over in client.
I remember that.
Yeah, and there was something too where if you did something like an entomb, it would show on your deck tracker when that card was drawn by
when the card was drawn.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, tournament mode. Anyways. Let's talk about this other one, though. All ranks have 5 stars. So this is probably one of the biggest changes. I would say even bigger than the other changes, except for the 4 ranks thing. It is going to elongate your grind a little bit if you take a few months off or whatever. It's basically like you're at rank 5 with win streaks at that point, right? So Ray and Danny, honestly, you guys are both legend players. 5 ranks, no matter where you are. I mean, this doesn't really affect you that much. But overall for the game, good change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is because you have the new player experience from 25 to 20 where you can't lose a star. And I feel that giving them more games between the 25 and 20 allows the player base to separate out between the brand new guys and the people who have been away for a week or a month and haven't really played much. So I feel that gap right there allows the player base to spread out. Because that was one of the issues going into the ladder, that everyone was packed together between the space of 22 and 16 to 15 at the start of every season. So now that's going to be spread out dramatically.
Ray, any other like meta insights, like what card backs you should use based on?
No. I just think that it's going to make the legend grind a little bit longer for people at first, but like Danny said, it's just going to help separate people who are actually grinding up higher than new players. So I think it's fine. It's kind of irrelevant to me, though.
Right. A lot of these changes will kind of not be that big of a deal after a couple of months, right?
Yeah. These are all very positive changes.
Yeah.
So here's
the big thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So the big thing for people who are legend players is that it dramatically cuts it, your grind. It essentially puts it in half. Like the normally.
Yeah, it puts you at rank 5, which is typically the halfway point for most grinders. Yeah.
Which, I mean, for someone like me who I play, obviously I'm in the wild mode and everything, but I'll grind up to legend every single month. And then depending on if I'm tryharding, I'll try hard. But otherwise, I'll just meme around and experiment with a bunch of stuff. So now I get more fun out of the game, whereas I don't have to grind as much to get to my cutoff point, at least. So, like, this is an amazing experience for people who are just like me, who just try to go for a specific threshold or whatever. And it also helps out with wild because for the queue times at start of the season, you'll typically have someone go out really far ahead. And like in December, when I was first to legend, my queue times were like 10 minutes in between games. So like now everyone's going to be around the same area with the same skill level at the start of the season.
With a 10-minute queue time, though, what you can do is bust out your phone and on your other account get your five wins for that card back on another account. So, you know, consider that.
It's pretty cool because now I remember hearing a lot of complaints where my friends who are more casual would be like, I don't want to queue in the first couple of days. I'm just going to queue with people who have better cards than me who are just...
I'm right here. Ray, I'm right here. You did say friends.
I said friends, okay. John.
Good one. Oh, didn't see that one coming.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, so now there's not going to be that problem. Like, pro players are not going to be queuing into newer players who are just at rank 16. So
that's a very good change. Yeah, definitely for the health of the game.
Yeah, and now I can, like I said before, can grind all the servers because it doesn't take an unreasonable amount of time like it used to. The main problem was grinding from 16 to 5 probably took a good 4 or 5 hours if you were doing well. Like, this is like, you're on a hot streak.
You're making so many people feel bad right now. So many people are like, take me 75 hours to do that. That was my, actually my internal voice, by the way. That's the voice I make in my head to me.
I wouldn't want to hear some of the arguments you have in your head. I wouldn't want to listen to that.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are jerks. Stop that.
Oh, God. But yeah, it's going to make the climb much more bearable, and it'll be a lot more fun to see everybody that's like a pro player in Legend after the second day. For the most part, everybody's going to get Legend pretty quickly, I'd imagine. So we just get to start playing in Legend earlier, and for me, streaming in Legend is so much more fun and trying to go for rank one than just the monotonous grind to Legend itself. Right. So I think I'm just going to enjoy the game more with these changes.
I spent 3 days streaming in Legend, and it was great for my viewer count and engagement. And people take you so much more authoritatively. It's like when I was rank 5 and I would say this thing, you guys wouldn't believe me. But now that I'm Legend, you think I'm a god.
No.
That's how my stream treats it. Back then, back in the day, Ray. This is back in the day. And also, Ray, I've seen your streams and I don't trust anything you say or do. They are something else.
Sometimes I hit the nail on the head, like double naturalized Jade Druid, all right?
It's true.
Sometimes.
I remember you came out with Taunt Warrior first.
Oh, yeah. I was the first person to make Taunt Warrior back in the day. Yeah. I don't know. I have really bad ideas, and I just need to do it to get it out of my system. But every now and then, they're not actually bad ideas.
You're like the bad idea. You're the idea guy who 98% of the time is just wrong. But that 2% makes people billions in Hearthstone stars. So, it's a good thing. It's a good. Glad you're on the show to give everyone advice. Because
I know.
Yeah.
Because 2% of the time it's going to work.
2% of the time. So 2 minutes out of this podcast is take the most valuable 2 minutes, and it'll be really great for you.
That was the card back section.
That was the card back section. Honestly, it was. It's so true. There should be people at like rank 15 who are like playing different card backs offline, named Kicked Tripod. It's just like, Ray said to do this. I'm doing it. And I'll be like, it worked for me. I had a win streak from 15 to 12. Anyways.
So delaying the podcast for a day because we were busy. Great. Actually ended up being very beneficial to us because the new nerfs were announced today, John.
They were, and these are some pretty exciting ones, especially for Danny in Wildland. This makes a big deal. Let's go ahead and talk through these one by one. The first one, Bone Mare. This used to be a 7-mana 5/5 battle cry. Give a friendly minion +4/+4 and taunt. Now costs 1 more mana. So now it's an 8-mana card. And Danny, good? Good change?
Yeah, I'm happy with it. After playing Standard and seeing how Tempo Rogue was, I feel that this Bone Mare change was definitely needed. Bone Mare, essentially every single time I've played against a Tempo Rogue, right? Turn 6, you need to clear their board. And like the 6 was the pivotal turn where it's like, if I'm playing like a priest or something, I'm just getting my clear, and maybe I can't clear like a dragon or something because I'm using dragon fire potion. And then they would just top the Bone Mare down and I'd get killed from that. I think that raising this up to 8, it it jots for the deck, that's in like Priest, Anduin can come down right after. So the Bone Mare and whatever gets buffed by the Bone Mare both die. Whereas you used to have that extra gap turn from Anduin where you could go and burst them down.
Okay. Ray, what do you think about this one?
I think the Bone Mare one is the one that I'm least surprised about happening, but also like at the same time the most surprised that they actually did, because Bone Mare didn't feel like it was that much of a problem card to me, because it's so, I don't know, it's just turn seven. It feels like it's not as degenerate as something like Patches or the Corridor Creeper, I mean, or maybe Kel'Seth. It just didn't feel like that they were going to do that. I didn't expect it, but it's not unsurprising, because obviously that card is one of the core neutral cards that were like in a package together. You'd see Pirates, you'd see Kel'Seth, you'd see Bone Mare, and sometimes you see Spiteful Summoner, and they're all kind of like packaged together where you could put that core set of neutral cards into any deck and it would be playable. So it was a big part of that core, and I'm not surprised to see most of those cards nerfed, especially Bone Mare. Yeah. The nerf is going to make it a lot less playable. I still think it might see some play, but it's definitely going to it got nerfed, man. And I'm not surprised to see it happen, but yeah. I'm excited to see how these aggro decks adapt.
Sure. Let's talk about this next one. So, I mean, I would say out of all of these, the Bone Mare one feels like the smallest nerf in what's actually changed, right? It might take it from playable to unplayable. I don't know. I don't personally think so, but like it might take it from there. But like these other ones are fairly big ones. So the first one is Corridor Creeper. Used to be a 7-mana 5/5 beast. Reads cost one less whenever a minion dies while this is in your hand. Has been changed to a 7-mana 2/5. So it was nerfed 3 attack here. And wow. Like that just kind of, that took the wind out of the sails for me. I love 5/5s in Hearthstone. 5/5s are probably my favorite stat line in Hearthstone, and like a 7-mana 2/5. Obviously, you're never gonna pay 7-mana for it, but I don't know, Ray. Is it worth?
Is it worth playing Corridor Creeper anymore? I think that the aggro decks are not gonna play it anymore, because obviously the aggressive stat line is gone. I think that Corridor Creeper is relegated to board cleanup or just something to contest a board. Maybe it goes into a control deck in the future. Maybe, I don't know what it would be, but like, let's just say Control Paladin is a thing. Like, maybe they could play Corridor Creeper now, because after you quality consecrate a board, you make a 2/5, and that 2/5 can now get buffed by Spike Ridge Steed, whatever it is.
So but it's, I don't know.
I don't think it's going to be aggro.
I think you could definitely see this in like aggro druid. Like aggro druid's a deck where you rely on the beast synergy tag a little bit more because you have the Mark of Yashiraj. Maybe this is because I play wild and our version of the deck is a little bit more centered around the like the beast synergies. But I feel that Corridor Creeper definitely has some playability in an aggro druid deck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And so we got a JR, what's your thoughts on this, buddy?
which one were you talking about? I just hopped in.
Corridor Creeper. Hey.
Yeah. Oh, so that became the little grub creeper now, right?
Oh, I just remembered the meme. In the set reviews, I was a sleeper in the dungeons I go deeper. You guessed it right.
I'm 3 attack cheaper.
Right.
That's where the MLG air horns come in.
But, man. No, I'm just I don't know, like, I don't feel like a 2-5, even if it becomes cheaper, like, and you get to play it on, like, turn 3 or whatever, is really all that exciting, especially if you don't get it in your opening hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just rather play something else, because at that point, then, if you're playing aggro, then it's, like, the way that that card gets value is by your stuff dying. And if you have a really good hand and you're just going ham and your stuff's not dying, then, well, you've got this dead card kind of in your hand. I just, like, that's the only deck that I see it playable in is something like a aggro druid or an aggro deck or something like that. But even then, like, there's other cards I think I'd rather play.
I'm on the opposite mindset. Like I said, I think it's only going to be playable in control now as sort of a catalyst for cards, like, say, in Control Paladin, you clear the board, you play a 2-5, and now you have a Spike Ridge Steed target, or something like that, that helps you deal with future board states. But in aggro, I definitely think it's not going to be a thing anymore.
That's an interesting thing. I hadn't thought about, Paladin in that sense. That's, that would actually be pretty good. So,
but if it is played in aggro, it's not as it's obviously not as oppressive now because it's defensively statted. It has a big butt, it has a 5 health, but then it has the 2 attack, which really doesn't trade into many aggressive minions. A lot of aggressive minions have 3 health. So that's one of the issues that you're going to run into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just seems kind of like I kept this card in my hand for so long just to play something with 2 attack. And you guys know me. I'm not a patient player by any means. I am like the exact opposite of a patient player when it comes to Hearthstone. But even for me, I'm like, is this really paying off? And maybe there's something cool with beast synergies coming up and things like that might make it worth. But no. I don't think so.
This is the other thing that I want to mention about Corridor Creeper, is that the main reason why it was so degenerate was not actually the Corridor Creeper itself. It was this little guy, and he used to be in charge, but I don't think he's in charge anymore, John.
He is not in charge. You guys are done talking about Corridor Creeper. That's fine. Let's talk about Patches the Pirate. He's no longer in charge. He is now a 1-mana, 1/1 that reads, after you play a pirate, summon this minion from your deck. So charge has been removed, and Patches has faded into irrelevancy. Right, Danny?
No, for you guys, yes.
Not
for you guys, yes.
For you,
not in Wild. I feel that Pirate Warrior Ship's Cannon is just such a strong card that being able to get a 1/1 pirate out in the early game, even if it doesn't have charge, is devastating. That, like, is snowballs the game for aggro. So Pirate Warrior will still run it in Wild because of Ship's Cannon, but I feel that for most standard decks, any standard aggressive deck, you're not running pirates anymore.
Which, mm-hmm. I mean, you'd only be running them for the next month anyway, because it's going to rotate out. That's what surprised me the most about this nerf, is this card's rotating in a month out of standard. So this was purely because they decided we didn't want this card sitting in Wild forever in the way that it is.
Huh. Which, well, I mean,
new standard for Wild, cards though, affect Wild, so... Yeah, it makes sense, and it's nice to see them consider Wild for those nerfs rather than just throwing overpowered cards into Wild, nerfing them.
But to be fair, in Wild, Patches isn't overpowered. Aggro is on the decline in Wild right now. We're in a control meta. We are in a pure control meta at the moment where you have control and combo, and aggro is barely even sneaking in. So I know, in I its read current the script. State, yeah, I know. I wrote this script.
So yeah, did you say it was sneaking in though?
Yeah, I feel that for certain aggro decks that play Ship's Cannon, which right now is Paladin and Warrior, I could probably see it not fitting into Paladin. I only think I see this in Wild Warrior, Wild Pirate Warrior.
Unless they print something in Standard that.
Yeah. Yeah, it also makes me wonder if it's they did it in Wild in this way because to open up quote unquote design space for new cards that they might be bringing in that might be completely broken with patches in Wild.
Maybe they just didn't want to make us suffer for a whole nother month. Maybe they just said, "All right, we'll give them a break. They've gone through enough of this. Let's end the suffering." Because with patches gone, Corridor Creeper, even if it didn't get nerfed, would have been nerfed. It would have just kind of been collateral damage, you know. Because once patches was the main reason why you kept seeing 0 mana 5/5s on turn 3, because the patches would hit into a patches and reduce the cost by 2. But now that patches is gone, I feel like Corridor Creeper actually got worse, which means I think that the nerf might actually be too much, but maybe they didn't want to risk it. They just wanted to get that card out of the way and say, all right, we did not expect this to blow up like it did. Yada yada yada, and then we'll nerf patches because it'll make the Wild meta potentially healthier and open up design space while also liberating the standard community for a month and changing up the meta for a month. Maybe that's why. And if they can do it, they can do it.
And they're making room for Quatches, which is a 1-mana 1/1 beast with charge that reads Quatches. After you play a beast, summon this minion from your deck. Mm. Quatches.
Yeah. Is it a duck?
It's a duck.
Oh, baby.
I'm looking forward to
it. It's a rubber new ducking. Duck meta. New ducking. It's a
yeah.
New ducking meta. It's
a new ducking meta.
New ducking meta. Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. So that's the name of the episode.
Yeah.
New ducking meta, boys.
My favorite change, though, to patches is the fact that they're going to put in a new voiceover because he's no longer in charge. He can't come in and say, "I'm in charge now." Because he's not. So
what is he gonna say? I'm summoning sickness. Yeah. I'm summoning sickness now.
I have scurvy and I can't move right now. Give me a turn.
Oh my God! Let's move on. Raza the Chain, 5-mana 5/5 battle cry. If your deck has no duplicates, your hero power costs 0. This game has been changed to your hero power costs 1 this game. JR, thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's nice because you don't have basically not infinite, but you can't just sit there and keep using your zero-powered Anduin thing over and over again, pinging for 2, which I'm assuming is more this once again, because Raza is rotating out, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so this is more, again, just a consideration of Wild more than anything, that they didn't want this card to sit around forever, especially with Anduin and how powerful that combo is.
I don't know. I think that they're unchaining the standard metagame for a month to see how the nerfs go and how different the meta could have been if they had done this sooner. Like, low-key, I feel like they're just like, all right, let's see how it would have worked out if we had done this sooner, and maybe it'll help them make decisions quicker in the future if people respond very positively.
So this kills Raza Priest, right? Raza Priest is now dead. Instead.
Sorry, too soon.
Because
not dead yet.
Well, no, we've been theory crafting in Wild, and because we have Spawn of Shadows and its explosiveness, we're thinking that you could probably make a tier 2 version of this deck with Raza with hero power being 1 and like Emperor Thoris in, and just similarly to how you guys play you play it in standard with Raza, and you got to combo all the stuff off. Well, in Wild, it was just gather any 4 cards and then kill your opponent. Now it's got to be a little bit more specific, but you can still use this in Wild, which is what I actually really like the way they nerfed this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it's going to be interesting for this last month because now it means that Warlock did not get any nerfs, right? So Warlock's number 1 enemy was Raza Priest. In my opinion. So now, with Raza Priest out of the way, what is there to stop Warlock
well, in I this feel next like,
month?
I feel like you can more now focus on countering Warlock instead of worrying about Warlock and Priest.
Right. The question is how are players going to do that? I think we're going to start seeing a lot more weapon destruction because that's one of the main ways that Warlock functions. They just use the weapon to get out the Doom Guards, and then they go off from there. If you destroy the weapon and you force your opponent to have to play Doom Guards naturally, the deck becomes a lot less consistent because you can just discard Death Knight and immediately lose now. I think that once people start being able to target Warlock harder, once the nerfs happen, if Warlock becomes the best thing in the world, people are going to be able to actually target it. Whereas with Priest, you couldn't do that anymore. Like, you can't really target Raz the Priest. If they draw the nuts, they draw the nuts. You're going to lose. So with Warlock, I think it's much more counterable. You can play silences. You can play weapon destruction and things like that. So it's going to be interesting. I feel like people are overhyping how good Warlock is going to be. I think it at the beginning of the cycle where the nerfs happen, I think everybody's going to be on the Q-Block Warlock hype train where everybody's going to be playing it. But I think that we'll just see the metagame evolve. We'll see more Acidic Swamp Oozes getting played. We'll see more Spellbreakers getting played. And eventually, it'll probably balance itself out since it can actually be countered.
So I just thought of something. Going back to the corridor. Yeah, I don't know how. But going back to the corridor creeper and, like, could this, the way that everything's shifting now, where could Evolve Shaman make a comeback? And would Corridor Creeper fit into there?
That's actually really interesting, because I think that Corridor Creeper could definitely be played in Evolve Shaman, obviously, because you just evolve it. So the stats don't matter. It's the cost, right?
Right. But then against, like, if you're countering Warlock, you're using Evolve or something like that to maybe get rid of, you know, if they're using cubes. Most of the time with the cubes, they kill them on the turn that they play them, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's hard to say, but I think that we're going to definitely have to think up some new things, and the meta is going to change up a bit. And I think that the very beginning of the metagame, we're going to see a lot of Warlocks. So the people who are able to come up with the counter decks are going to be really successful.
Yeah, I would totally, totally agree with what Ray said, because he is way better at the game than me. So that is I do like the one piece that we'll see. I've even seen people like tweet us on Twitter and stuff already. It's like, it's a very, try not to see nerfs in a vacuum. Let's just say that. Try not to see nerfs in a vacuum, not just the cards that nerfs or buffs directly affect, but indirectly, like new cards that might be played in its place and stuff. And I think that'll give people a lot more perspective on a lot of these nerfs, because, you know, a lot of times it's like, oh, they want Warlock to root all over the place and stuff. And then, you know, JR immediately is like, well, think of how it affects Shaman and Evolve Shaman. And there's a lot there.
Yeah, and it's only for a month, right? Because or a month and a half, because they're going to introduce new cards. Cards are going to rotate out. The meta is going to be completely different.
Yeah.
And people are expecting, I've heard rumors of Doomguard going to the Hall of Fame to help the Warlock issue, if it's a thing. So I think this month is a really good test month to gauge whether or not cards should go into the Hall of Fame, or just how else they can balance the game once the rotation hits.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, guys. We did a show today.
We did.
That was the shortest show I've ever done.
Yeah. It's really nice not having JR talking the whole time. Just kidding. You missed. I was on Ray's case pretty hard today. It was good fun. JR, it's good to have you, though. It feels like it's been a while since all four of us have been here. How long has it been?
I'm sorry I'm late. Just work got in the way.
You know what? Can be here in time. Yeah, just take it out of your dust paycheck. Minus seven dust.
But you know what? You're going to be getting that dust back once you disenchant patches.
Yep. Why would you? He's still really good.
He's not in charge anymore.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get out of here. Big thanks to our well-met legends, the real Ben and Carell. If you like the show and want to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. We really, really, really appreciate it. And also iTunes reviews. If you like the show, one of the best ways to support is to hop onto iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and we'll make one of these guys mispronounce your name on the show. So that's always good fun. It's usually JR because he usually is the worst at reading and pronunciation. So that's usually good fun. Though Ray is a close second. Ray is a close second.
I don't know. I saw a lot of my Twitter people in the chat earlier, so hopefully they go and give a 5-star review so I can mispronounce their name.
And join our Discord at discord.me/wellmetpodcast. We're hanging out there. There's really good discussions going on, and Ray and Danny and JR are all there. You know, so you got the up-to-date pro analysis. Even if you just want to bother them for deck lists, that's what I basically do, is I just ping them, be like, hey, deck list for today, please. And, they get me covered. So, yeah. Anyways, thanks for doing that. Let's do some shout-outs for the week and where people can find you. JR, last in, first out.
Oh, man, I can't think of any shout-outs. Just shout-out to you guys for bringing me on for the last 10 minutes to talk about stuff I've been wanting to talk about all day but couldn't. So thanks for bringing me on for a few, even though I was late. And you can find me over at Twitter, @Eldorian.
Awesome. Danny, what about you, man?
So this week, I actually want to give a shout out to Craig and Nate from the Into the Wild podcast. I was a guest on their podcast earlier last week. So I got to go in and essentially talk about Wild for an entire podcast, which is pretty sweet.
It's a really great podcast. I was supposed to be on it tomorrow. They invited me to be on it tomorrow, and then I had a job interview come up last second, and so I had to reschedule. But they're really cool guys, so big shout out. If you're a Wild fan, Into the Wild, go check it out. Type it into your podcast feed of choice and give it a listen.
Yep, and you can find me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS, my Twitch, DannyDonuts45. You should also listen to some of the new Tempo Storm content that John and I are putting out. So the Wild community of Tempo Storm is now putting out YouTube videos. So we rattled 2 off so far, and there's a backlog of about 4 or 5 more coming out soon.
And I'm not actually contributing to the content. I'm just the voice of it because I spent way too much on my microphone setup. So that's you want to get into it, just spend a lot of money on your microphone setup. And you too can do voiceovers for Tempo Storm and other websites. Ray, what about you, man?
You can find me on Twitter at @PG_RayC. Shout outs to pretty much my team of grinders out there. Me, Dr. J, Shoop, Sidonia, all those homies. We're going to be out here grinding for the last, 27 hours or so of the season. It's going to be intense.
Nice.
I'm excited to see where we all finish.
Why don't you guys do it in buildings?
In what?
In buildings. Why would you want to do it in tents?
I know.
Do it in tents. You said it was going to be intense.
Play the Boo soundtrack.
You said it would be intense. You're going to be grinding Hearthstone.
Oh, intense. We're going to be, it's going to be intense. Oh, like in a tent. Oh, wow. That was really good, John. You should probably go boo yourself.
I was going to say, whoever left that, we got a 1-star review one time from my dad jokes. So prepare for a few more.
I can see why now.
Prepare for a few more.
I think I just died on the inside.
My favorite joke, you know, so in World of Warcraft, you could type /joke and your character will say a joke. My favorite one is one of the male human jokes. He goes, I'm a wigwam. I'm a teepee. I'm a wigwam. I'm a teepee. Relax. You're too tense. So good. Audience, please settle down. Audience, you gotta please for a second. As for me, you can find me everywhere at Kick Tripod. And I actually have a new show out that I'm doing called Overwatch League Daily. It's a daily show about Overwatch League, fully produced audio or video. We have some of the biggest and most authoritative names in Overwatch esports hanging out on the show every day. And it's great. You can get your highlights there. 15 minutes long, 5 days a week. It's pretty cool. So if you're into Overwatch League at all, youtube.com/kicktripod. I actually have my own URL now because the YouTube channel has grown that much, which is pretty cool. And otherwise, twitter.com/OWL Daily Show, or just go to OverwatchLeagueDaily.com. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for joining us for episode 141 of Well Met. We record live at 7 p.m. Pacific time on Sundays, except when we have to go to a gender reveal on Sundays than we do Mondays. So, yeah. A baby gender reveal, by the way. A baby gender reveal.
I thought you were revealing your own gender finally.
Gender reveal. Do you remember the old SNL skit with Pat?
Yep.
Those were pretty funny. Anyways, sorry. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. Tweet us at WellMet Podcast. Email us WellMet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas you have for the show. Huge thanks to Jake Butno for our music. We will be back next week for another one. Thanks, guys. See ya.